Hello, Smitty. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
You're very understated today.
Hell of an afternoon.
Wow.
I'm still winding down from that flurry of Cleveland activity.
They traded everybody to everybody.
they sort of wiped out the last 7 months of franchise existence. Oops.
So Eric Thomas is with me, and I said to him, I said, you know, the great rumor is that LeBron's going to the Lakers, and they just traded Isaiah Thomas, who apparently LeBron hates, to the Lakers.
Yeah, but Isaiah Thomas is also a free agent in the summer, and there's no way the Lakers are going to pay him.
No, I know. I just think it'd be funnier than hell if they signed Thomas to a long-term deal, and then LeBron said, well, I'm not going there because I can't stand that other guy that you just got, so I'm going to go to the Clippers.
And then you'd have to deal with LeVar Ball going berserk because you've signed Isaiah Thomas over your kid's head.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, yeah. That's a better show altogether.
It's going to get fun out there, I'm sure.
So I asked Thomas this question, and of course there's no way to know the answer to this unless you're you. Did Cleveland get any better?
Like, younger and athletic, that's for sure. I'm not sure they're all that much better defensively, and that's where their issues lie. But yeah, they're more athletic, they're longer, they're younger and quicker. They've taken on a lot of money for the future, but they're a better team today than they were last night. That's for sure. I don't know if they'll have time to be the best team in the East, but they certainly got a better chance of winning a first round playoff series now.
I'll tell you, I hate it when people answer the question. Don't disrespect intended. Well, they're younger and quicker. Well, I didn't ask if they were younger and quicker. I asked if they were better. And younger and quicker doesn't necessarily mean better.
I do think they're better because of the athleticism they got and the way the NBA is going and the way they were so horrible in the last 5 weeks. They were old and slow, and now they're not.
No.
So they're a better team, but are they?
Well, they're younger and quicker. I don't know if they're better.
Well, I think they're. I will say yes, they're better, but I still don't think they're the best team in the East because they're not going to have time to get everybody back. They're not going to have time to get everybody used to each other.
Doug, I want to know your thoughts on two people in particular's mindset right now. Now that this trade has happened, one, LeBron James, and moving forward with Cleveland without Isaiah Thomas, and then Isaiah Thomas himself, who, like I was saying with Bob, has gone through the ups and downs in less than a year with everything that has happened to him, his sister's death, getting traded in the offseason for Kyrie Irving, going through the hip surgery, not being able to play, not meshing with your new team, and then getting shipped out of town at the trade deadline. That's a lot for a guy like that, even if you are a superstar.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for him, no question about it, since the playoff when he missed the end of the playoffs when he hurt his hip in Boston. Absolutely, it's been hard on him. But this is also, I think, the second team in 4 years that's dealt him at a trade deadline, and it's going to be his seventh team in 6 years. At some point, you got to look inward. And I'm wondering if he's going to go to L.A. and fit in, if he's going to go to L.A. and say, I got to get mine because I got to get paid in the summer. And I think that's going to be a telling thing to watch, how he fits and what he tries to become with the Lakers, because he's going to back up Ball. He's not going to start. That's not, I think Magic Johnson said that earlier today in Pelinka. So he's got to behave. He's got to get paid this summer. It's the big payday of his life. And I don't think, if I'm an NBA general manager right now, I would be hard pressed to say I'm going to give Isaiah Thomas more than the mid-level exception.
One of the other guys they traded was Channing Frye, who goes to the Lakers, and I would think the last thing the Lakers needed was Channing Frye, so I don't understand that deal at all, do you?
I'm sure it's cap ballast, was money in, money out.
Okay.
Frye's a West Coast guy, Arizona kid, plays a teammate of Luke Walton's, I think, in Arizona.
How crazy is that, Doug? That he's playing.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre, right?
Playing for his college teammate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he's a go along to get along guy. He'll play out the year, see what happens, get up some shots. The other. There's going to be room for him to play out there, but I think he was pretty much cap ballast and extraneous in Cleveland.
So when the Raptors signed Bruno Caboclo, what was the phrase that was used? The famous two-year.
Well, Fran Fischel says two years away from being 2 years away. So it was a 4-year project as a 17-year-old Brazilian kid who had never seen or played in even American college basketball.
Right,
You're a 20th overall picks from the NCAA who are 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Well, how long has he been a Raptor? Is this his fourth year?
This is fourth year, yeah.
So 2 years away from being 2 years away, and he's gone away.
Yeah, he has.
You think he's going to play?
I think he's a player. I absolutely do.
You do, huh?
I'm in the terrible minority on that. There's like four guys in the world who think he's an NBA player. But he's got the prototypical skills. He is still a 22-year-old kid who's been living in a new land for 4 years only. So I the Raptors made the move, I'm sure, because of money. It saved them about $900,000 this year, which they can now add to the pot to sign a guy who gets bought out. So that's the significance of that move. They took on an extra year from this Richardson kid, but that's moot because the money they needed was the $900,000 on this deal that they can add to whatever they've got, I think around 4.2, to add to a guy who gets bought out and signed him for the rest of the year.
So does Richardson immediately go to the 905, do not pass, go, do not collect 200?
I think he's still in his third year, so they can just assign him there. Yeah, he plays 12 minutes a year, 12 minutes a night on a horrible Sacramento team. He's got enough. He's not going to help here.
Yeah. No, I don't.
You should buy like a Hazel McCallion hat and go live in Mississauga.
Somebody already said that. I hope he's looking for a house in Mississauga, which is cruel and unusual punishment. But
it is. But that's the bottom line. Exactly.
Doug, what does it say about Masai Ujiri and this front office that the Bruno draft pick was maybe the only question mark, and only because it didn't work out, maybe he goes to Sacramento and goes gangbusters. But what does it say about the front office that this is maybe the only question mark that there's been during their tenure with so many great players up and down the lineup that are obviously contributing and the reason why the Raptors are where they are in the East?
They've been excellent. They've been excellent drafters ever since I got here. This was a long shot that didn't pay off. And with the 20th pick in a draft, why not take a long shot than a safety valve? There might be three guys who were picked after Bruno who are playing in the NBA. Ryan Anderson, I think, is one. But there's only this was a gamble. It was a gamble to prevent him from going to Oklahoma City. Was high on him. Dallas was high on him. Dallas had a lot of interest on him. The Raptors couldn't have got him. At 47, I think, was their second round pick that year. They wanted him. They took him. It was a big gamble. Didn't pay off. Big whoop. Let's move on.
That's rather definitive of you, Smith.
I don't think the Raptors did the kid any favor either, because when they brought him here, they didn't have the safety net of the 905s. They didn't look into the possibility of putting him in Europe for a couple of years. Instead, they left him with the Raptors. Sent him to the D League. I think their affiliate at that time was either Fort Wayne or Erie for a few days. And they, you know, so they're complicit in this as well. And you know, if they draft him this year and they can put him in Mississauga for 2 years, who knows what he becomes in three. So, you know, the organization has to bear some responsibility. But Bruno's a hardworking kid. It just didn't pan out. And I will always say this. He was a 17-year-old kid from Brazil who couldn't speak the language, had never seen an NBA game, let alone taken part in an NBA practice. And all of a sudden, you expect them to do something. And it's the way of the world, but it's also blatantly unfair.
So back to the Cavaliers for a second, because we were chatting about this. Do you believe LeBron was consulted or had any role in any of the decisions that were made by their front office today?
I think the prevalent answer would be yes, I would think no. Because I think they're ready to move on. They don't know what LeBron's going to do, so I'm not sure they would have got, if they asked his advice, I'm not sure they would have got the best advice. I think they had to do what they had to do to make the team better, to see what whatever happens with LeBron in July didn't, I don't think, impact what they did today. They got better players for older guys, so they are prepared. If he moves on, they're a little bit prepared. They didn't give up the Brooklyn pick. Clarkson and Nance are both like 25 years old.
Right.
George Hill's not old. Rodney Hood's a young kid too. So they've sort of prepared themselves for the eventuality that LeBron leaves in July. Now, they made it easier for the Lakers to sign him by giving them cap space, rather.
Yeah.
But those are the deals they got. Those are the deals they had. DeAndre Jordan wasn't going to make the Cavs any better this year or next, really.
But you understand. You understand the curiosity of
absolutely.
Of this deal with the LA Lakers, the team that everybody thinks LeBron is going to, with the history of players like LeBron, and I mentioned Vince Carter earlier. You know, one of the things about Vince Carter was all the allegations that he was dictating what moves the Raptors should make, or at least being consulted by some people, maybe one of the owners. And you know, so you kind of put two and two together and say, I wonder I wonder if he had a role in this. And isn't it funny that it that the bulk of this movement was with the Lakers themselves?
I think the relationship between Dan Gilbert and LeBron is so toxic right now that they wouldn't have asked them. But they could very well have. And obviously, I don't have any insider knowledge.
Well, I don't
either way. Either way, but I think there's a kind of a malaise, kind of a conflict there that's sort of simmering beneath the surface. LeBron didn't want them to get rid of David Griffin as a GM in September and October, and they did. And LeBron and Gilbert seem to be not on the best of terms, so I don't know that the management and ownership would have gone to LeBron as a way to appease him and say, hey, we're going to do this because we think it helps us. So they just went and made their moves.
All that being said, Doug, do you think that this team can make a run to at least the Eastern Conference Finals?
The Cleveland team?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a Cleveland-Boston second-round series would be epic. And I think Cleveland could win it if they can develop. It's hard to develop cohesion, though, because there's no time left.
That's right.
30 games.
There's only 30 games left in the season and no practice time.
Yep.
Like, teams aren't even allowed to practice of the week of the All-Star break. So even if they think that there's 4 or 5 days there, that they can't do it. It's against the CBA. So they're not going to have any time to work things in. And they've changed basically, six of their top 8 guys. Wow. 6 of the top 9 guys. So there's some questions of whether they're going to be able to come together quickly enough to make a run to the conference finals or get past the second round series against an established team like Boston or Toronto.
Right. Were there any other moves that are worth talking about?
No, just ones that didn't get made. DeAndre Jordan didn't go anywhere.
Right.
Tyreke Evans in Memphis didn't go anywhere. Marco Bellinelli didn't go anywhere. So I think that, you know, the next big thing is the buyout market, which opens pretty much any day now. And whether teams have money to get guys to come into that one spot and put them over the top. It's going to be fascinating because there's going to be a lot of guys out there. Joe Johnson will be out there. Well, Caboclo will be out there.
It's rumored Caboclo will be out there too. So
he will. Like, could he be playing for the Westchester Knicks?
Could be.
Doug, did you like the new format and the way this went down with the trade deadline coming before the All-Star break this year?
Eric, actually 6-1 happened as the other. I'm glad it's over. I like moving it earlier helps teams better because you have 30 games instead of 24 or 23 games. I think that's a factor in it. And it will allow the league to concentrate on the All-Star without having a lot of trade stuff chatter around the All-Star break. So that's the only thing that would help the league at. Teams, I think, wanted it earlier because they got more games with their new guys.
We're going to have Bobby Webster on a little bit later on, the GM, and I don't know him well enough to know whether he'll be communicative on this subject, but are you aware of whether the Raptors were close with anybody else, talked seriously with anybody else, had anything that they thought they might be able to get done besides the Caboclo deal?
No, but talking to a bunch of people around the league and here, there really wasn't a lot of traction on anything significant because they really like the young kids. They think they might be able to get the help they need in the bio market for the one roster spot they have open. And they didn't want to disrupt a very good thing unless it was for a very special player. Yeah. And anybody who got traded today is not that special a player.
No, they're right. You're right. 100%. I agree. And they'll look at the buyout market, I guess, and make some decisions at that point, too. They got some money to spend.
Very, very seriously. I think my math sucks. They'll have, I think, about $4.8 million they could offer a guy to come, whatever the prorated value is. So, yeah, they can be a player. It's not like they can only get a guy making a veteran minimum. I think they'll be a destination because it's a good team with a legitimate chance.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
They've never got into a bio market where they've been better placed to be legitimate contenders and attractive to a guy who might want to take one shot at playing for ring.
They were good the last 2 years in terms of record, but they weren't taken seriously.
And right, because Cleveland was there.
Right. And I think now you have to take them seriously if you're one of those guys looking around, right?
Yeah, there's four teams. Houston, Golden State, Toronto, Boston.
That's it.
I don't think Cleveland's in the market to add a guy like that anymore. There are four teams. Golden State's pretty set. Houston might look. Boston just did Greg Monroe. If you're the guy, you might think, okay, I'm the guy who can make Toronto an Eastern Conference champion.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll find out soon enough.
Who knows? Yeah, it'll be fun next 5-6 weeks.
Smith, thank you, pal.
You got it, kids. We'll talk to you later on.